Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates and popular culture from Chimpan A all the way down to Chimpan Z. This week, joining us in the Monkey House is first-time guest Rob Braslin and returning amateur primatologist Angus Gordon. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
You've never been in before.
No.
I mean, that's mainly because you're from Tasmania.
That's right, yeah.
But you're not from the monkey end of Tasmania, are you?
No.
That's Launceston.
Launceston has the City Park Monkeys.
Yeah. That's right.
Gifted from Japan.
They're macaques.
Yeah.
Or macaques. Depending on. We, as a Hobartian, you probably call them macaques.
We call them, macaques. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got gifted them and because it was like a sister city kind of deal. They were like, you know, you're our sister city, Launceston, whatever the city was in Japan. And they gave them a bunch of monkeys to take care of. And they've all got some diseases and stuff. And they just hang out in the park and people point and look at them and take photos.
Would they be slowly evolving to their own, like, species of Tasmanian, subspecies of, you know, Launceston monkeys?
Yeah, you go there and they're like, they're cheering on Hawthorn weirdly.
Kind of
like the local team.
Yeah. Which, well, I mean, it was, and now there's a Tasmanian team.
And they're slowly trying to convert the monkeys to Tassie, and they don't like it. They're not taken to the Tassie AFL team.
Yeah, it's hard to change teams, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's probably one of the few times where it's socially acceptable to change teams is when your state has a new team.
Exactly. Yeah, they've had a couple of Tassie players go in there and try and reason with them, but it's not happening.
That's right.
Yeah.
Angus, what do you think about those? Are you familiar with the monkeys down there?
Well, I think they're all getting the face cancer like those Tasmanian devils. And it's like, there's something wrong with the island.
Oh.
The island's cursed.
There's nothing wrong with that island, mate.
It's a cursed island.
No, it's great. Come down sometime.
That Van Diemen's Land, he wasn't from Holland. That's all I'm saying.
Really?
Yeah, he was from hell.
Oh, it's right there in the name.
Yeah. Helland.
It doesn't matter that he spelled it different.
That's like a little trick like P. Diddy would do. You know what I mean? Penis Diddler.
That's his real name. I didn't know.
His government name is Penis Diddler.
I did not know that. Yeah. That is what
he
that was short for.
Just shortened it to P. Diddy.
I came on here thinking I wasn't going to learn anything.
This is not the kind of show you come on to learn things. That is true.
Well, I just did.
This is
You
facts.
Just diddly.
Yeah, I just diddly.
You got diddled. Your brain has been diddled.
So, Rob, the regular second banana on this show is Evan Munro Smith from the Gamey Game show. He hasn't been on for quite a while.
I don't think I've ever done this podcast with him, and I've done it many times, which makes me think he's never been on it.
Yeah. This is your fight club.
He refuses
yeah,
when
has
you're
a problem
on.
With me.
But anyway, his favorite primate is Andy from Toy Story. And guests normally try and come up with an even better primate than that. who's your favorite primate? He likes humans, but then if you drill down, he'll tell you Andy from Toy Story is the superior human.
My favorite primate, specifically, it's a gibbon that was in a viral video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, slapping a tiger. It keeps coming down and just messing with this tiger and then jumping back up in the tree and just being a little cheeky guy.
Okay.
Yeah. And I thought that's very brave because if that tiger gets you, mate, you're gone. He's my favorite.
All right, just a second.
I don't know its name or anything like that. I just know he's a gibbon and he slaps a tiger.
Oh, here he is.
An Indo-Chinese tiger makes an appearance in the jungle.
Is this him?
John, the Bengalese tiger and her children have suddenly abandoned. A darker color, a coat embellished with narrower stripes, and a smaller size characterize this species. His name will be Sua, a Thai word that means tiger.
His name is Tiger. Bloody hell, that's a big honor.
Without warning, an enemy pounces on Sua. The second tiger, Pang, is none other than the brother of the former.
There is.
Two animals continue to play.
This is normally we don't delve into tigers this much on the show, Rob. So
I understand. I think a good. I feel like the guy like telling when a good bit of a song is coming up. Oh, here we go.
Oh yeah,
straight away.
Yeah. Oh, they are a great looking monkey.
Yeah.
Gibbons are monkeys, yeah?
The ape.
Gibbons are apes.
Yep.
Well, I apologize.
Yeah, I did an essay on apes in grade 6.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I had a big cross through an orangutan. And the teacher's like, are you saying no more apes? You don't want apes? I'm saying, no, there's not going to be any more apes if we don't take care of them.
Oh.
Yeah. I made it in MS Paint.
That's a beautiful message.
Yeah.
A beautiful and confusing message.
And I read a big book on apes and Gibbons.
Oh, yeah. He is slapping him.
Just get out of here.
I did an essay in year 6 and it was about how we should burn down the Indonesian jungles to cultivate more palm sugar.
Well,
but I was also sponsored by the palm sugar industry, so it was a more successful and profitable year 6 project.
And you had a picture of palm oil with a cross through it and your teacher said, do you not like palm oil? He said, no, if we don't look after palm oil.
If we don't burn enough orangutans, we won't have any more palm oil.
And we're not going to have cheap chocolate anymore.
I said, look at what you can do with the sugar. You can roast up these monkeys. You can caramelize their flesh.
If I remember, I'll put a link to this video in the show notes because, you know, he's really having a good time with that tiger. That's a great suggestion. So Gibbon, because it does look like it didn't have a tail. And I haven't been in the monkey house as regularly as I used to be and I was more on top of these things before.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks to me like it's definitely an ape and I apologize for misspeaking before.
It's okay. You must have some kind of like three strike rule here of some sort.
I've been doing it for years, so that's the first strike.
There you go.
Yeah, so not too bad.
Not too bad.
But that's the first mistake I've made on the show. Nice. Anyway, we're here to talk about Pokemon. I don't think I've ever done an episode on Pokemon before, but that's why I've got you two young fellas in.
Yeah, we're around the same age.
And Pokemon. I miss Pokemon, but a few people have suggested it, including Sean Gallagher from Chicago, who wrote, Pokemon is one of the most recognizable and profitable franchises ever. I think it deserves some pod representation. And he also asks, what is your favorite Pokemon? Would you two have an answer to that?
I think I liked the Arcanine guy. He was a dog.
Yeah.
He was a fire dog.
Fire dog's
Arcanine.
Good.
Arcanine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Huh. Canine had the dog word in it.
Yeah, that's great.
It was pretty good. I don't know what the
Arcanine.
Arcane.
It's a little sort of like a portmanteau pun, which is like, that's the peak of podcast humor, I think.
You did it. We don't close this in the episode.
We didn't do it.
Pokemon
did it.
Where's this guy from? You said just Chicago?
Chicago, yeah, the Windy City.
I reckon he's from Japan and he works for Nintendo.
Oh.
He finally wants to crack Pokemon in this lucrative market.
I like how that deserves
it deserves a spot. It's done really well, actually, Matt, and it's a shame you haven't mentioned it till now.
What's your favorite? I think I'm going to say my favorite primate is... I've just watched my first ever bit of media. I'm going to have to say Primeape. Slash Mankey, which I believe is somehow the same Pokemon.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Mankey evolves into Primeape. Yeah. So when Mankey gets really enraged, really angry, a bit pissed, he turns into Primeape.
And so it can't devolve. So it gets angry once. It's like it gets older.
Yeah.
It's like puberty.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It has to have some real like... irked moment in its life, and then it's like, hey mate, you settle down, you're going to evolve.
Yeah,
and it just does not. This is it, this is my new me.
So, that's my favorite. Mm. What about you? What are you thinking?
I like this one called Tangela.
Tangela,
yeah, and he's like, it just does look like a guy caught in some vines because he has shoes on. Like, why do these Pokemon have clothes sometimes? Like, one of them has a belt.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He looks fantastic. Yeah. He looks like, do you remember those McDonald's characters that were fuzzy fellas?
Yeah, he does a bit. Yeah.
Looks a bit like one of them, only better.
But it's just a guy stuck in some vines. Like, what's he actually look like under those vines?
Oh, that's not him.
No, it is him, I guess. I guess he is just vines, but it does look, like, I want to know what his face looks like.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll never know.
He's like a drill rapper, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Tangula does drill. Yeah.
He's got ops, you know, so you can't see his face.
Yep.
That's a fantastic. I haven't heard of either of those. I've heard of.
And he's got some six shoes.
I've heard of Pikachu.
Yep.
That's why he has the shoes. He took them off someone on the train.
Yeah.
I've heard of Pikachu and Mewtwo. I think they're the main ones. And Squirtle the Turtle.
You know Squirtle the Turtle, yeah.
It was in this episode we just watched. So Sean was one of the ones who suggested it. Jordan Swift from the UK specifically suggested we watch the episode Primeape Goes Bananas, which is what we did watch.
Mm.
And Jordan wrote, it'll get the nostalgic 90s kids and weebs in, and it's objectively shit, so good to make fun of. Yeah. It's only 20-odd minutes long too.
It'll get him a very different tact. It'll get him in and we'll piss him off too.
Sean's like, watch it. It's brilliant. It's profitable. You should talk about it. Jordan's like, you got to do it because you might suck some people into listening to your stupid podcast. And it sucks. So you can make fun of it as well. Jordan's question was, what animal would you cross with your favorite primate? This has ruined me, this Pokemon.
Mm.
What animal would you cross with your favorite primate to make the best chimera?
Mm-hmm.
So chimera is what? It's like a mashup of two animals?
Yeah, like a liger or a zony, like a pony and a zebra.
Yeah,
I think. But I feel like he's asking more like, how crazy can we go? Because those animals are quite related.
So, I think we can go. Yeah, I think we can go pretty wild.
All right.
But one has to be a primate, which I assume will be a sapin gibbon. What would you mix with a sapin gibbon?
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, human.
Are you... Is this just your weird way of saying you want to fuck a gibbon?
Yes.
That's how he calls them macaques, because he's been sleeping with their monkey wives.
That is watch. You watch.
What?
Thanks.
This is feeling like a very angusty kind of episode already.
I can corrupt anything.
Yep.
Yeah. I do have, I think I got a genuine answer here. Not you, man. Because I don't want to have funny answers. I want a genuine answer.
Yeah,
here,
that's what we're after. I think that's what Jordan wants.
Yep. I think those arms, those big, long, slappy arms, need to cut it out. So a snake.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it'll be a gibbon body with snakes as arms.
Yep.
That's sick. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this becomes a triple-headed.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I hadn't even thought this through yet, but you have. You're good. You're fast.
So it's only arms that are snakes, not legs as well.
Oh, yeah. What are the legs? Are they still legs?
I think we've got to maintain some kind of composure here because the legs aren't going to be super practical. I think you want, because they're like hands, right? They want to be able to grip onto trees still.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that means everything, like shaking hands all of a sudden becomes deadly.
Yeah.
Never shake hands. What would you call this thing?
Snake gibbon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Never shake hands with a snake gibbon.
Yeah.
That'll be age old wisdom, an age after this chimera comes to life. What about you, Angus?
I'm thinking, you know that movie where it's like Godzilla versus Donkey Kong?
Yeah.
What if they fuck at the end?
Oh, okay.
They make like a Zilla Kong.
That would make
a song.
It's King Kong, but I love the how much that would change up the movie if it was Donkey Kong versus Godzilla. Oh,
you know,
do you work for Nintendo?
They're the same guy. One of them just has a barrel.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, would Donkey Kong be Godzilla sized?
Yeah. It's King Kong or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think they're the same size.
They must be working towards that, right?
Yeah.
There's a film out at the moment that will probably the next episode of this will be about that. But the there's a new Kong versus Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
But that's the second one. They've got to be working towards a Kongzilla, surely.
This is
going to be annoying people who are like, like kaiju fans are going, there is a Kongzilla.
There's a Kongzilla.
There's actually a whole Kongzilla.
There may be, but I can't think of one. Comic series. Off the top of my head. But yeah, this latest one's more of them teaming up. a bit more.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's, they teamed up in the last one too, but this one's like they're definitely teaming up.
It's it's that enemies to lover trope.
Yeah, they're doing they it. They did it quick. Yeah.
Do you reckon it has live birth or a big egg? Kongzilla.
Ooh, maybe a live egg.
A live egg.
Well, is it like Monkey Man?
So it's like an egg with eyes and little hands. That's how it comes out.
Yeah.
Did either of you ever watch Monkey, aka Monkey Magic?
Yeah, he was born out of an egg. Born out of an egg on a mountaintop.
Yeah, so I think it might be like that.
I was heard about this, you know, Zeus, the god?
Oh, yeah.
That's my god anyway. I worship him.
Yeah.
So please be respectful when I tell you this story.
No laughing, Matt.
He got the queen of Sparta. He got her pregnant, right? He had sex with her, but he had sex with her as a swan. Like he turned into a swan to do it. He's like, what? You know, he's like, what? He's like,
what? Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. Because normally, like, the queen is the only one that can eat swans in our culture.
Oh.
But in that one, it was like the swan eating out the queen.
Mm.
But then when she gave birth to two eggs.
Two eggs.
Yeah, and then you know that the king's like, I don't want to say you've been stepping out on me.
Xena and Hercules.
Yeah, that's not my egg.
Yeah.
That's not my egg.
Oh.
And she's like, wait till it hatches. It'll look more like
it. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the thing. You got to wait.
You got to wait till
the egg hatches before you don't want to leap to conclusions.
You don't
want to
say anything. Like, you don't want to be like, I need a DNA test. Wait till the egg hatches.
Yeah. It's just, you go, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at it.
I didn't know Xena and Hercules were brother and sister.
Xena? I don't know if Xena was... I think I know Hercules is a real guy. I don't think
Xena was one of the
guys. Well, Hercules was a real guy.
Yeah, he was a real guy, yes.
But Xena, you're saying, is made up for TV?
Maybe.
He was quite like a lot of these Pokemon guys. He was fighting a lot of animals. He fought a lion.
Yeah, he did. He fought a big old lion. Yeah.
Maybe he should have tamed the lion and got it to fight some other animals.
Mm.
That seems to be what Pokemon is about.
I've looked up Xena Real and it's come up with Xena Real Estate.
Yep.
Oh, no. Xena is a fictional character from Xena Warrior Princess franchise.
She's real now. She's as real as Hercules.
Yeah.
She's in her keep.
Because Hercules was like
I've put her into the pantheon.
Yeah. Well, you know, everything has to be born at some point.
Yeah.
You know?
She's up there on Mount Olympus.
Yeah.
Apparently there
is... That's one of the ones where it's like the gods live on top of Mount Olympus, but you can also just go up there.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, they're not. They're not here.
Right. Yeah, oh,
they went out.
It's not even on a particularly high mountain.
You just missed them. Did they leave a note?
They left it on a different Mount Olympus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not on your realm.
Well, you know what I mean. We're all having fun.
Apparently, according to Godzilla-movies.com, there's a horrifying new Godzilla Kong hybrid figure, which is a toy.
Damn.
It's been announced. Yeah. So, do you want to have a quick look at it? I think it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. So it's more.
Taking on a lot of the Kong.
Yeah. They went for scaly King Kong.
Yeah.
I would have probably gone for furry Godzilla.
Oh, okay.
I would have put Godzilla's head on Kong.
But that makes more sense because if Kong is in the water now, you don't want him all wet. You don't want a soppy, like your wet monkey hair.
Yeah.
That can't smell good.
And
right, they've probably done the right thing.
He has to swim.
That's a cleaner. Mm. I feel like scales are cleaner than hair.
Yeah. I think it's got the Godzilla tail.
Got the tail. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right.
He's got like a sort of Joe Rogan-y belly, like a HGH gut. You know what I mean? Like he's like, it's round but muscular.
Yeah, he's ripped.
Yeah, his organs are like really pushing to the surface.
I think this thing is awesome.
You like that guy?
Oh, okay, I didn't see the profile. He's got a big old tail as well.
Yeah, it's like a full Godzilla back. Well, I was just looking at the tail.
Look at that.
And do you reckon he has the big laser beam thing too?
Could do.
Yeah, he has to.
Can Godzilla do laser beams?
Yeah, Godzilla's got the big
laser. How does King Kong compete at all?
He can climb better.
Climbing is not as good as laser beams. No.
Well, that's it, yeah. He's a radioactive lizard versus a monkey.
He's helped out a lot by the film writers.
Okay.
You know.
Godzilla's like...
Like, if you put these two out, surely Godzilla...
Yeah.
And that feels bad for me to say because I'm a big Kong head.
Yeah. Yep.
Love Kong.
You know how, like, I think Godzilla's supposed to be like a metaphor for the nuclear bomb.
Right? Yeah.
That's right.
What is King Kong a metaphor for? Finding a big monkey?
The
terror of finding a big ape.
That's one strike.
Yeah, right.
One strike for you.
But it's a metaphor. I'll strike myself. I said it too.
Godzilla's not actually a nuclear bomb.
Right.
So yeah. I meant it as a metaphor for finding a huge monkey.
Yep, gotcha.
Not an ape, which he is.
Yes, okay. All right. Well, now I understand. We'll strike the strike. The strike's been struck.
Strike.
That should be a strike for you for doing it.
Oh my God. This might be the last episode.
You've been doing this show for 20 years, man.
20 years. Yeah, and I've got all my strikes here today.
Yeah.
I mean,
I only gave one and he only gave one. Well, who's going to give the last one? You're going to give yourself the last one, probably.
Mm.
Be careful.
Okay. So you've gone Snake Gibbon.
Yeah.
Do we finish this question?
Oh,
you've gone Godzilla Kong.
What would you like?
I like the orangutans.
Yeah.
It would be great if you could somehow figure out one that where loss of habitat made them stronger. What's an animal that like the possum?
Yeah. So it's like in people's houses.
Do possums get stronger from loss of habitat?
They're the ones that have really adapted to city life.
Yeah.
Like a fox as well. A fox has really done well.
I saw one tap on, tap off the other day.
Really? Yeah, That's how well they've done on the tram.
Yeah. And I was like, you're such a bootlicker.
And you were like, you don't need to tap off on the tram.
No, yeah. What are you doing?
It's just tap on.
Just tap on, mate.
Because it's all in zone one, so don't worry about it. Yeah. There's no tap off.
Yeah, they're confused because they might be used to the train system.
Yeah, they are.
Where you do have to tap off.
Yep.
So I think...
Because they come out from further normally.
Don't be gatekeepers on public transport, guys.
Were they like hanging up on the where you hold your hand?
No, they were just sitting down.
Sitting normally.
Yeah, sitting normal because they would have been told off early days for that.
Mm. Especially if it's the one that also rings the bell.
Yeah.
You know, and just that would be annoying.
So every stop. It's like, you don't need to go every stop. No one's getting off here.
Yeah. Did you mean to pull it this time?
Yeah.
In the tram driver.
They learn quicker than people. That's all I'm saying.
Really?
Yep.
Who are we talking about? Possums.
Possums.
We're not talking about orangutan possum. Well, now, what would the name for the orangutan possum be? Because we've got a real chance for a portmanteau, which is a great...
Opossum.
Opossum.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Is that what opossums are? I always wonder what opossums were. There you go. They're orangutan possums.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So you, what's your orangutan hybrid? Is it
the possum. You've got the possum. The opossum.
Okay. The opossum.
because that way, they can't be destroyed by the habitat loss.
That's good.
They're just going to end up, you'll see them in the cafes.
That's very thoughtful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, today we're here to talk about Pokemon. So you two grew up watching it.
Yeah.
You were saying, because we just watched it, we're recording this in the morning, and you said this feels like childhood again, getting up in the morning, watching Pokemon.
Yeah, with three grown men.
It was a
two grown men. Sorry. I wanted to throw myself in there as a grown man, but I guess I can't.
You're imagining yourself grown as the time as a disassociative thing.
Yes.
So yeah, and you loved it back then?
Yeah, yeah. It was my world, yeah.
How do you feel it's dated since then?
I think it's a lot of people's first taste of anime. Like when you're growing up, like our generations, like you were saying earlier, like Astro Boy was a lot of people's, but for Angus and I, we got Pokemon as our first and then probably Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, yeah.
And then you start watching it and you're like, oh, the animation quality gets better with different shows and stuff or movies, like the Studio Ghibli films and stuff like that. But looking back, Pokemon is cheap. Like it is, you know, lots of still images, lots of voiceovers and stuff. They cut corners pretty well because they have to churn out 1,000 episodes. So,
oh, right. Yeah,
and sell lots of toys and hats and stuff.
Yeah. They did a good job of selling the hat in this episode.
They did, yeah.
They have the hat and origin story.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this
hard is to get. Yeah.
We were watching, this was season one, episode 23 or something.
Yeah.
And, was it the same for you, Angus?
I was surprised how bad it was.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't remember like how, like they're all like, woo, woo. Like,
yeah.
All the expressions are so like reductive, you know what I mean? They don't act like people, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like always so over the top. You know how people make fun of that anime? They're like, I'm a freaking weirdo.
Yeah.
And it's like, it is like that.
And there's the sing-along bits almost where like, you're like, this happens every single episode. The Jesse James Team Rocket thing happens every, like.
It's almost self-aware though, because then it cuts to them like they're just doing, it's in like their head that, lights and flashing. And then
they mix it up every now. They put a little twist on it every now and again, but it's still the same words.
And that's
the
kids just for efficiency.
Yeah.
Oh, so you can sing along, but also so repetition. They can reuse animation.
And they always get like blown away at the end and it's like, we're blasting off again.
There was also so little information conveyed in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like almost nothing happened.
Yeah, it was wild. So it starts with a guy on a computer who's talking to
Professor
the kid.
Oak.
Yeah. Professor Oak.
Yeah, who gave him his Pikachu.
He's all about iced coffee.
He does, yeah.
He's a tradie that Ash knows.
Town over is Professor Farmers Union.
Yeah. These are milk brands for the... I forget that people are all watching from Adelaide.
Yeah.
Or listening even. which is where Farmers Union. Anyway, so
yes, it is. Yeah.
So it starts. He's talking to. I've got a little synopsis here I can read.
Sure.
And then, so I can't believe how many paragraphs they've got out of what we just watched. Do you want to talk about that, or do you want to first? I can tell you about what the Prime Ape is. I've got Pokemon.fandom up, and it says Prime Ape is a bipedal simian Pokemon with a round body covered in whitish shaggy fur. There is usually a throbbing vein on the left side of its forehead. They kept focusing in on that. I wasn't sure what that was.
Anger. That's right. The show, The Anger. Yeah, because that's how it, that's really its main reason it for it to evolve.
I think I need to go even further back, because if anyone like me is listening and they're like, what is a Pokemon?
Mm.
Can you explain what Pokemon is more broadly?
They're the animals of the Pokemon universe, but there are no other animals, so you get Pokemon.
Okay.
There are no animals. You've just got Pokemon, I think.
But in this universe, you can catch them inside a ball.
Yep.
And then use them in fights.
Yes.
So it's sort of like, it's like dog fighting. It's like a universe where children the only animals
do dog fighting.
Children do dog fight.
And it's the most popular sport.
Yes.
You want to make it to the big dog fighting leagues.
Yeah. 10-year-olds leave home and travel the world.
Wander through the wilderness to find animals to dogfight.
Yeah.
But actually, it's more complicated than that, because there's different kinds. There's cockfighting as well. And you could cockfight a dog.
Yeah, it's mixed species animal fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in cartoon form.
Yeah. And I think the Pokemon's self-aware of that now, though, too, that they're like, they made a photography game called Pokemon Snap. They're like, okay, maybe the Pokemon they'll fight themselves in the wild. Just take photos of it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. That came later. Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, what was interesting as well was I didn't remember that the animals, the Pokemon, were also, like, he was fighting them. Like,
yeah, he was punching on with
the children were punching on with the Pokemon.
Yeah. His first instinct was, I want to capture that. And it wasn't Primeape yet. It was Mankey, which is like, so can you explain that in Pokemon? What happens there? That's with like evolution? A
half hanky, half monkey Pokemon.
Okay.
He tried to blow his nose into the Pokemon.
Right.
And he was wiping off the snot, and that made the Mankey angry.
Yeah. But we watched the same episode, didn't we?
But why do they evolve? What's in Pokemon? Why do they evolve?
So I guess, like, you know, you're leveling them up in the game, because it's a whole big time with the game. But with the show, they're like, when they get stronger, when you're bonded more with the Pokemon, they'll do that. But in the wild, they throw out different reasons why they evolve. Oh, they got super duper angry and then they evolved. So they evolve, they get bigger, they get stronger.
So when Mankey gets angry, it evolves into a Primeape.
Eventually, I think it has to be like a certain like level of anger, like, oh, I'm so bloody, you guys have really irked me.
The main character, the main human character. Which is different to humans,
when you get super angry, you evolve into an inmate.
Oh. You get, so you got Ash as the main human character, and he, so he's trying to capture Mankey.
Yeah, yep. Because at the very start of the episode, Professor Oak's like, hey, mate, everyone's doing way better than you.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's killing it out there, and you're like one badge less than everyone else.
Yeah.
And my grandson has 30 Pokemon. You've got to catch more Pokemon. So every episode, Ash is like, I got to catch more.
You got to catch them all.
You got to catch them all, actually. Yeah.
What? So why is he's catching them just as it's a sport?
Yeah, Professor Oak wants to document them and has the Pokedex, and he wants to you know, say like, oh, like every time you like scan little Pokemon, you're helping me out, mate, you know?
So weird. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's a world where kids go around stealing wild animals.
Yeah.
Poaching. Yeah. Children are poaching.
Pokemon.
It's a Japanese show. They were doing scientific experiments on wild animals, like the whaling industry.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
But only they're making the whales fight each other.
Yeah. Well, Humpback versus Blue, who's going to win?
Oh, yeah. These are the scientific experiments.
Send in your answer. Who's going to win? There's someone out there who listens to this who knows a lot about animals.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we could Google it.
But I think Blue's bigger, right? I don't think Humpback's in the Blues weight class.
And they won't. They wouldn't actually
swallow it.
Would they fight? Would they fight?
Mm. They just sort of bump in. I imagine they'd sort of bump in and float.
If you put them in a small enough tank.
Oh, yeah.
Where there was only room for one.
I feel like Mass is going to win. I think Blue wins.
Yeah, I'm going Blue. But yeah, it's like
it's same as UFC. Just the bigger guys tend to win.
I'm going Blue.
You always go Blue.
I'm working Blue.
Not just when I'm talking about whales fucking.
Hey, did you know
the sperm whale? He's the biggest one, really. No. Anyway, that's just a single sperm from the that evolves into the blue whale. The sperm whale is actually just the blue whale's sperm.
I think you've gone.
Is that true?
And then and then it swims up into.
You've gone on the deep end of Pokemon.
I saw Cat Williams say that in a podcast. I believe it.
I can describe Primeape further. Shaggy. Got that angry eyebrow. But also got a snout-like nose. I'm kind of disappointed at how un-apey Primeape is.
Yeah. When you look through the Pokemon, the original 151 Pokemon, they've cut some corners. Because Mankey just evolved. When he evolves, he just gets a bit bigger and has some metal armbands. They've gone, we can't, there's 150 of them. We've got to just, make the cool ones look a bit really different and make the ones we're not really thought about just, and some of them don't even, the original ones didn't even have evolution, some of them.
So. I reckon this was the original design for something called, the guinea pig.
Yeah.
But they would have changed it slightly to make it more of a monster. Yeah. I don't know how you would do that, but
make it angry.
Yeah, angry pig.
Angry pig.
But they've changed and they've primate cell.
Mm.
We need an ape in there. Because otherwise it makes no sense that this thing is called, or am I wrong? Did that give you any vibe of ape?
Yeah, he's got the arms and the movement.
Arms of an ape. Okay.
Arms of it. Sort of hanging from trees and stuff.
All right. And it eats bananas.
Yeah. And it's.
Did you know that? Eats bananas and other fruits.
Mm, there you go.
Can be found in the forests or mountains of Kanto and Sinnoh.
What did he eat in this episode, though?
Oh, yeah. So, because this is not the... Was this originally made in Japan?
Yeah.
And it's dubbed in English.
Yeah.
And they're eating some sort of rice treats, like maki rolls or something.
Mm.
But instead, when they're clearly a rice snack...
Yeah.
But they're all calling them donuts.
Yeah, they're not donuts. Yeah, that's a little rice treat.
This was from the year 2000, and they didn't think that children in America and Australia and elsewhere could handle a word like rice.
Yeah, but we can handle the concept of evolution very easily, in that you get angry and you evolve.
Mm.
And
you won't like them when they're angry.
Yeah, you can trap giant animals in tiny little spaces in little tiny balls. Yeah.
But not the idea that rice can be eaten cold.
Yeah.
Also, it just doesn't look like a donut in any way. No. So the children, why not just call it cake?
Yeah.
Just cake, you know what I mean? Because it could potentially be.
You could sell
that
as cake. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
Maybe some weird translation in joke. They're like, I'll call it a donut. That'd be funny.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's been lost in translation. Or maybe the direct Japanese translation of donut is rice ball.
Yeah.
Or something. It would be. I think it probably is, actually.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was. So you don't have to add us anymore.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let me tell you about the episode plot. So you got Ash, who we've talked about. He's the main kid.
Mm.
He's the famous one who wears a red and white hat.
Yep.
Then you got Misty, who's like his friend, and Brock, another friend.
Both gym trainers that he's defeated. Or actually, I think they maybe...
Oh, did he get to collect humans as well?
They get their badges.
Seems like he has, though, at this point.
Yeah, he kind of did a bit, yeah.
So in an earlier episode, he beat one of them and then they joined his gang.
I don't think he actually beat either of them. They just felt sorry for him and they went, all right, here's a badge and we're going to hang out with you.
That's one way to defeat someone.
Yeah, is to make them love you. Yeah.
Use make them pity you.
Use pity as a weapon.
Yeah, he did, those first two.
You've heard of the pity fuck, but what about the pity fight?
Yeah, the pity badge.
The pity badge. So,
do you get a badge after you've had sex with someone, Angus?
I think so.
Yeah.
If you're bad enough at it.
So you got Ash, Misty, and Brock, they're on their way to a place called maybe Celadon City or Celadon City.
Celadon, yeah.
Celadon. And Ash calls Professor Oak from the milk company. And he's sort of bragging about these new badges. He's got the four badges.
Yeah, I got four badges.
Professor Oak's like, that's not so good.
Yeah.
And that makes Ash go fully stiff and fall over.
Yeah. Real common trope, I suppose, to be like shocked, I suppose.
Shocked, stiff.
Embarrassed, shocked, I don't know. Yeah.
He's unimpressed. We've talked about this. So he's like, you got to go out there and get more Pokemon.
Yeah.
Because you're embarrassing me. Only four? Yeah. Other kids have got five.
Yeah.
My grandson.
He's got 30.
30.
Yeah.
So, oof. So then they head out. Misty, Brock, and Pikachu are eating, and I like how it says it here, eating rice balls. Mm. There you go.
Yep.
Okay, donuts.
Donuts.
Then Misty and Pikachu notice that Ash is upset. They ask him what's wrong. Ash says he's very far behind compared to the other trainers, and Brock tells him that Celadon City is about a day's walk away from where they're at. Pikachu spots a Mankey close by, which is an unevolved primate.
Yeah.
And the Mankey hops over to Brock, wanting his rice ball. Brock gives it to him, and Mankey climbs up on a rock to eat it. But then, while he's just started eating it's just a real faux pas. Hmm. Ash tries to catch him by throwing a Pokeball.
Yeah.
I would have used a rope.
Yeah.
That's
what I would have used.
Yeah, these Pokeballs seem good, though.
Did it seem that good?
Well, no, that's the first time I've seen it used, but it did capture the rice ball back. And then the others made fun of it. They said, it looks like you got a donut.
Yeah, I caught a donut.
You caught a donut. Yeah, so that makes Mankey angry, and you won't like Mankey when he's angry, because he starts hopping around in a mode called Thrash, which was pretty disappointing. When they said Thrash, I thought it was really going to be something.
Do you think it was going to be like a skateboarding magazine?
Yeah. Move? I thought it was going to be, you know, like Metallica, something Anthrax, David Quirk would do. Slayer, and
I thought there was going to be a pit started
he's,
up.
He's pit killing.
Yeah. Thrashing, yeah.
Megadeth.
Yeah.
He's throwing his arms around. Thrash. It's like, are you too scared to come in the pit with me?
So the first, like you, I think you alluded to this, his first instinct was to take it on himself. So Ash goes toe-to-toe with Mankey.
Yeah, he punches on with the monkey.
And this goes on for a while. He gets destroyed.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Mankey, not a very high-level fighter.
No, he hasn't evolved. Still a boy. See, well, I guess we're like the next step of evolution of boys. That's we're men.
Right. Yeah, boys
we're two. We're three men.
Boys two men.
Boys two men, that's right.
Yeah.
Like Mewtwo men.
Yes.
Is that anything?
It's nothing, but we like it.
Eventually they annoy it so much it becomes primate. It evolves. And like you said, it means it's slightly bigger.
Yeah.
And it has metal. It gets itself in chains.
He gets some metal around his wrist and around his legs, and he's a bit tougher and different looking. He's a bit different looking.
A little bit different
looking. Yeah, enough to let you go, that's a different Pokemon.
Then we get Team Rocket. Can you explain to me what Team Rocket is? It's two people with an R on their shirt.
Yeah, Jesse and James and Meowth. They're talking Pokemon. I think there's only a handful of Pokemon that talk in the whole Pokemon universe, and Meowth's just got some consciousness and very self-aware.
He looked
little
a bit to me, reminded me of Samurai Pizza Cat.
Maybe. Yeah, he's getting a bit...
Is there a crossover there?
No crossover. Okay. He's his own little special guy.
Okay.
Yeah, but he evolves. He evolves into just a big, luxurious-looking cat.
Oh,
yeah.
Luxurious.
Yeah, like a big jaguar-looking thing. Oh. But for the meantime, he's just a little mouthy guy.
Right.
With a little coin on his head. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, Team Rocket, they're the bad guys. They're in every episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard of Team Rocket. Yeah. I've heard of Ash. I've heard of Pikachu.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like the Team Rocket's like a big organization that it's run by a guy called Giovanni, who's the big bad guy of Pokemon. And this Team Rocket, Jesse and James, are like the biggest dipsticks ever. They're like they're like the worst henchmen, and they're going after Pikachu so they can like give him to Giovanni.
Never makes any sense. Why does Giovanni keep sending him out if
I don't know if he is. I think they're like on their own sort of. He's just like, everyone just go out and do your own thing and bring me Pokemon and rare things. And
it's
cool
like Bebop
stuff.
And Rocksteady and Ninja Turtles. Like, what? Come on.
Yeah, get some better guys.
Yeah.
But it sort of shows where Ash is at too, that he's not even getting like the best of Team Rocket. He's getting like the two biggest dipsticks. and they're he's constantly thwarting them.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's fun for him.
Yeah, it's just like, at the end, how confident was he? He's just like, you guys are idiots. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Here's a Mankey for you. I just caught this Mankey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mankey, punch on with them.
So they try for a while. Yeah. They're hopeless.
Yeah.
Eventually, we find Ash starts throwing out, he's got a collection of Pokemon. Yeah,
that's right.
Which is short for Pocket Monster.
Ah, it is. That's correct.
And he starts chucking these Pocket Monsters at him. And Angus, you're like, why didn't he do that in the first place?
Should have done
that. You were furious.
It took a long time. It's not his first Pokemon fight. You know what I mean? Like, why didn't he do this immediately?
Yeah.
Why did we go through all of this?
This episode could have gone for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Like,
or, but then how are you going to sell a hat?
Oh, that's true. They did have that big hat ad speech in the middle. He was very proud of his hat because he won it in a very difficult way.
That's right. Yeah. He sent in like 1,000 stamps to the Indigo League. Or whatever it's called, that thing, and they were like, "This is the hardest hat in the world to get. Do you want this hat, little boy? You better send 1,000 stamps in." And Missy's like, "I only sent in 10. I'm a dummy."
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, that's why.
And then Mankey gets his hat. That's why he's angry. And they want to get the hat off.
Yes, that's right. There's a whole thread in this episode about Mankey. So he throws out ones, and I've heard of this one. He threw out a Bulbasaur.
Yep.
Which I've heard of. A Squirtle.
Mm.
A Charmander.
Yep.
Which he uses.
They're all the original starter Pokemon. They're the ones that Oak goes, which one do you want? And when he goes there.
Oh, you just get to take one.
Yeah. Oak's like, well, if you get it, everyone gets a little starter Pokemon. And he goes there and there's not even a Pokemon for him left. And he just gets Pikachu.
Oh, yeah. So Pikachu's lame.
No, it's not lame. It's just like, it's different. It's not the ones you normally start off with.
Right.
Yeah. And this Pikachu's got some attitude. He doesn't want to go on his Pokeball. Pikachus hate being in their Pokeball.
I got to tell you, Rob, I'm so happy you're on this episode.
Mate, I'm pumped. When you said, I was trying to act cool when you were like, do you know anything about Pokemon? I was like, oh, a little bit.
Whereas Angus, on the other hand, is about to start his festival run tonight.
Hey.
And so I imagine that his mind is right in on Pokemon today.
You change your show around now?
Yeah, this is the show now. Yeah. We're just talking about Pocket Monsters.
Yeah.
What is your show about?
It was going to be a very personal show about childhood and growing up. But
yeah,
now,
every show is about childhood and growing up in a way.
This episode will come out, I think this will be out tomorrow. So you'll have just had a triumphant first night.
Yeah, and I would have gotten a standing ovation probably.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming most of my audience bringing flowers for the first time.
You love flowers too.
I'm always saying I don't get enough bouquets.
I had a look at your rider for this episode and it was bouquets.
It was a
many bouquets.
they're covered. There's an amazing centerpiece in the podcasting table.
Yeah, that's not always there. Nice.
What flowers do you see in the middle of the table?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I see them all. There's one of each. Which
one
is
of every flower. We've
got to catch them all.
Got to
pick them all.
Name one of them.
Rose.
Rose?
I was going to say rose.
Daffodil.
Daffodils as well.
Hilly pillies.
Do they look nice together?
Hilly pillies? Is there something like that? Lily pillies?
I don't know.
Lilies. Lilies.
Azaleas.
Yeah. Azalea Banks.
Some Iggies. Yeah.
Yep. Agapanthus.
It's an agapanther there as well.
Yeah,
it's very beautiful. Thank you. It's very considerate.
Yeah.
Thanks,
cherry blossoms.
Yeah.
Yep. So we got
the florist around here gets
exactly 1,000 cherry blossoms.
1,000 cherry blossoms.
Yeah. To celebrate the Pokemon episode.
That's right.
Whole room is covered.
Yeah.
Spring has sprung.
What a beautiful time of year. This episode's going out in the Northern Hemisphere spring.
Yep.
Yep. That's just for them.
This is for them, yeah.
This is the Northern Hemisphere episode.
Well, I see more people in the... Yeah, there are more Northern Hemisphere listeners than Southern for some reason on the show.
This is the biggest podcast in the Southern Hemisphere.
Though. Yeah, that's true. It is, actually. It is. Yeah.
It's bigger than any of the Peruvian podcasts.
Yeah, Brazil's got nothing on this. New Zealand.
We don't have any native primates.
That's true. That's why the macaques are so important in Launceston.
They are. Yeah. I've been trying to get them out in the wild for ages and they get real angry. The people get real angry at me.
Yeah.
I was like, let them have a go.
Why is that? Can I just quickly look that up? I guess it was something about land bridges or something.
Yeah, probably, I reckon. It's our marsupials just ruled the roost.
Yeah, and they became different because there was there were the megafauna marsupials, like that sick big wombat,
which is
probably my favorite animal of all time, I reckon.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's so good.
Yeah. Do you know the wombat's poos are square, like cubed. Imagine how big, that'd be as big as a house, those ones. People probably would have carved out a little house out of their ones.
Okay. this looks like it's a children's website, but it says very briefly, the separation and extreme distancing of the Australian continent predated the evolution of monkeys.
There you go.
But yeah, that's all. It was just a timing thing.
Yeah.
Like,
we've done all right without them.
Yeah, I don't think we need them.
No.
I mean, it'd be great to have them, but we don't need them.
No.
We're doing fine.
I introduced a bunch into the wild recently.
So oh, did you? Okay. Yeah. It's a matter of time. Yeah.
Do you ever check in on them?
No, there hasn't been enough new feral species. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're used to the classic ferals in this country.
Cane toads.
Cane toads, rabbits. Rabbits.
Rattus the rat.
Yeah, Migdigliana the cat.
the common minor bird.
Yep. Indonesian house gecko.
Oh, yeah.
Pigs.
Pigs, yeah. Feral pigs. Camels.
Mm-hmm. Camels, yeah.
And we're not just talking about boys out on the town.
That's pretty good. What is your show about?
It is about it's three short stories about crime.
It's like Tarantino-esque.
Yeah, against man, God, and something even more powerful than the Trinity, the Australian supermarket duopoly, Coles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, nice.
It's about becoming a bush ranger in response to the cost of living crisis.
There's so much there.
And you're coming tonight, aren't you, Matt?
Yes. I'm bringing these flowers.
I genuinely thought you were, so the way you said yes then, thanks. <yeah.
laughs> We still have bush rangers down in Tassie.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like Ned Kelly style.
Yeah, but they hunt them with drones now.
Really?
Yeah, no joke. I'm not joking. This is all true. You can probably look
The more a comedian says, I'm not joking, and this is all true.
Well, I'm denouncing my comedian status just for this moment, right? And I'll get it back later at the end of the episode. But there was a guy running around the bush behind my house. The cops tried to get him, right? They got him, put a handcuff on him, and he ran off, and he was hiding up the bush behind my house. And every now and again, me and my dad would look out the front, and there was a drone flying over.
Really?
Like, what's this big table-sized drone doing up there? Dad's like, that guy's up there running around.
You got a guy
running around up there, and he was up there for weeks. And
what
they
kind
just,
of bush ranger are we talking about? Like he's doing... He's holding up people on as they're trotting their horses.
It was more like just coming down and just like probably like
stealing stuff,
just stealing some noodles out of people's pantries and then go back up the bush.
Being a bush ranger is just being a criminal in a regional area.
Yeah,
and Tassie's all regional. Like Hobart's so a country town.
Anyone can do it.
Yeah, you can just do it. And
that's what I'm trying to encourage. There?
Down in, if I committed a crime and then
in
ran
Tasmania.
To the bush. I have, yeah, but I've never been caught.
What does that mean you're a bush ranger?
Are you trying to get me right now? You guys nerks? What's going on here?
I'm the first urban bush ranger.
Urban bush, yeah. Just out in the parks.
You know what I mean? Like I don't want to go too far out.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But if you catch me in like Queen's Park or something.
Because
like,
you still want
to be bailed up.
You still want to see bands and stuff. Yeah. You don't want to go too far out.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You can't be too far from the cafes.
Yeah. So I wear like the helmet, but also just like Nikes.
Yeah.
Surfing.
Oh, you still wear the Ned Kelly style armor. Okay. Yeah.
Nice.
What are we talking about?
Primates.
I think we've pretty much gone. That's the episode, right? Have we said, does he catch Mankey in the end or primate?
He does. He catches primate and then he uses him, throws him in the little pit with Jesse and James. And
right. Well, that's the funny thing about it. You catch him, but then you throw him out and they'll come back to you then. Well,
yeah, you can just make him return with the ball.
Oh, okay.
And then you're slowly training them. You're trying to make, hey, baby, like you're the coolest Pokemon. Yeah.
Yeah. When you said gyms before, what is that about?
So I think a lot of the best trainers start their own gyms and then they become the gym leader and that's where your kids go to get their badges so that they can then go to battle. Yes. You have enough badges, then you can go battle the Elite Four.
It's kind of like dojo storming. You know what I mean? Like when you see people will go to martial arts gym. I don't know if it happens much anymore.
Psychos do it.
Especially people who are like just, I think, mentally ill.
Yes.
And they go and challenge like people who run martial arts gyms. You can watch these videos online.
Yeah.
And they normally get just really hurt.
Yeah.
The people who challenge them.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because it's like, I challenge you and if I win, I get your business.
Oh.
That should be a thing for every business. Like you go into the cafe, it's like, I challenge you and if I make a better coffee.
If I make a better boost juice than you, then I get this
boost juice. This is my boost juice franchise. Yeah.
Jeez, that wouldn't
I'm boost juice storming. I've got 60 franchises.
I boosted this boost juice.
Don't you think that's urban bush ranging.
That would lead to...
Like, now that's urban bushranging.
The quality of business's output would have to skyrocket.
Competition breeds excellence.
Obviously, there's a lot of people losing their businesses.
Dude, it's a tough...
And it could happen at any point, so probably...
It's called capitalism. It's called creative destruction. Yeah. All right?
Yeah. I'm butchering harder than this butcher.
You come in, you chop up that meat. Yeah. Oh my God.
Look at me,
so
Shane.
Tender.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, I don't want to do this anymore. So you're just throwing matches.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're out. You've lost it. The business is gone. Like, you've got to come home. You can't pay the mortgage anymore.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, that's kind of how cucking works as well. You go over, you fuck someone's wife better. That's your wife now.
Is that
right?
That's how you get a new family. You can't afford your family. You've lost your family. You take over theirs.
I didn't know that's everything, what cucking was.
That's what cucking is.
Cool.
I've lost and gained 7 different wives.
Is that true?
Yep.
Wow. 7?
7.
Wow.
Oh, it's a prime number.
Prime 8 number. Prime mate.
Oh, can you explain?
Prime intimate.
Can you explain this to me? At the end, Team Rocket is separated.
Yes.
Surrounded by primates.
They are, yeah.
What happened? What's that about?
I reckon they wanted to show how... Like, that primate sent them off into the bush, even further into the depths of the Pokemon world.
Right.
And they just conveniently ended up in the more, like, with that probably that Menke's, like, original little mates club. And then they were like, oh, this is cooked. And then they were going to beat them all up.
Is this trivia interesting to you, Rob? The episode's dub title is a reference to the Disney movie Herbie Goes Bananas.
I wouldn't have thought that, but there you go. I just associate, you know, apes and loving bananas.
Yeah, so, I would have thought.
That's all it was, but that is clever.
It's about a car.
Going to.
Herbie the Love Bug, I believe.
Yeah. Where did he go to in that episode? To go bananas?
Paris?
Yep.
I don't know. It's the sequel to Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
Somewhere
in South America.
Oh my God, it is picking up sometime. Oh no, there was a Trans France race. I don't know. They go in Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen those movies. But they always say they were old when I was a kid, even, and they seemed shit. I found them depressing.
Why is that?
I don't know. I found old, shitty-looking things really depressing when I was a kid.
Was there anything that you liked that was old at the time? What broke through?
I think things I didn't realize were old.
Okay.
You know, like I like Get Smart, and that was already old.
That was really old.
But I hated Star Wars because it looked so old and shit. And Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, it sucks.
You're a real quality control.
Well, I don't know, but what? Yeah. I mean, Star Wars was a very expensive movie, and Get Smart wouldn't have been. I don't understand.
They just looked a bit janky in spots, I suppose.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But yeah,
the green screen. You were afraid of green screen. I think stop motion.
That's a me issue.
Yeah.
Looking back now, I think all this. Maybe I need to go watch Herbie Goes Bananas now.
You do.
Maybe we could watch it for this show.
Watch it right now.
Yeah. Should we just?
Yeah.
When we're back, that was fantastic.
That was pretty.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Angus, you fell asleep for a little bit there.
Yeah. Did you? What did you think of the film?
It was great how they used bananas as an ethanol fuel source.
Yeah,
it was nice.
And it was about making a greener car for the future.
It was ahead of its time. Yeah.
The car's alive. Good. That freaked me out, but that's all right.
Is there anything else we need to talk about Pokemon? Since this is a 24-year-old show, it's become bigger since then, right?
It has, and they've added more primate type. Pokemon in the bunch, and they look way more. You would love this. They look way more more ape like. All of them. They got even more progressively ape like. Those
we got to do a follow up episode, Rob.
Yeah, yeah.
And you tell me one of the more apey sort of ones.
We're coming back
because there's a movie in recent times. It was a Pokemon movie where the guy who played Van Wilder was with Pikachu.
That's right. And that big threat in that movie is the city they're in. I think it's Mute City or something. No, not Mute City. That's from F-Zero. Anyway, so the city they're in has banned Pokemon fighting because it's cruel. But there's underground Pokemon fighting still.
Right.
Yeah, and they go check out some underground Pokemon
fighting. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that worth a look, that film?
I liked it.
Let's quickly watch it.
Yeah, okay.
I would love to see a Guy Ritchie Pokemon movie, and it's like these geezers doing animal fighting. You know, this little fella called Ash. We called him Ash because he was always burning everything up.
Oh, yeah. That could work.
Misty, we called her that. She live a tear in your heart, little heartbreaker.
I think this could be it.
And Brock, like, rhymes with rock.
Brock, he was thick as a bloody rock in the head. Slow fella, but heart of gold.
Vinnie Jones is in it.
Anyway, yeah, I think Vinnie's needed 10,000 G's after robbing up the big man, Mr. Crookshanks or whatever, Mr. Giovanni. So we went to the underground dogfighting rings.
Mr. Crookshanks.
I think John Crookshank is in this movie.
He is in the movie.
It's Redfern Electrical is the big bad guys in this.
So we normally give the media a score. It's a banana score. Firstly, how big of a bunch do you buy when you go to the shops to get a bunch of bananas?
Four or five.
So how many out of five bananas do you give it, and how ripe are those bananas, Rob?
I'm giving this bit of media, I'm giving it 2.5.
Yep.
Because of nostalgia factor, gets it over the line with the first banana. It's Pokemon, and I loved Pokemon growing up, so that's another banana. And that half banana is because I had a great time watching it with two grown men.
Just like the old days.
Just like the old days.
Yeah. What about you, Angus?
I think maybe one banana. I liked the all the sort of montage introductions. Mm. I think are very well done.
Yeah.
What? How big's your bunch? One out of four. I'm going to give it a couple of... my bunch is 7 bananas. I get one for each day. The song is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
The song is so good.
Yeah.
And that probably was the peak of the episode. I was a bit disappointed at how much Primate didn't look like an ape.
The very best.
Yeah.
Like no one ever was.
And he's standing in a stadium, but from a distance. It's a zoom out shot. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So he's a small figure. You can see the smallness and how much he'd have to grow to become the very best.
It says so much. I'm going
to
give it.
Step up to the challenge. He's like Eminem.
4 out of 7. I'm going to say they're overripe. It's a bit much.
Something you're going to make a banana cake with later.
Yeah. But they...
Mine are right on the button.
They're
2.5, but they're really good.
Yeah. That song is feels like... I assumed it was from the 80s. I'd heard it before. Yeah. But that is from... That's when it was...
Yeah, 96, 97, I think those first...
Right.
I think like 90... I think it came out around... Was it 2000, those episodes? Wow.
And it's funny. It made me feel nostalgic for those kind of shows that I watched as a kid. The one I remember watching mainly as a kid, I think Astro Boy was having reruns, but I remember this show that was like a Wizard of Oz anime.
Yeah, right.
And there was this like worm that went on, there was this huge worm that sort of burrowed underneath they were traveling with or something. And there was a robot.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's a real thing. Yeah.
I remember there being one about a little boy and his yellow car, and it looked a bit like Brum, honestly. Remember Brum? It looked a bit like that, but there was this guy who wanted to get his little yellow car every episode. Very similar to Team Rocket wanting to get a little yellow mouse Pokemon.
Man, wouldn't that be exhausting? Yeah. Someone trying to steal your car every episode?
Yeah. And I don't remember the name of that show. If you know it, at Matt.
Why don't they at you?
Oh, I don't need that.
The other thing we do sometimes is, and when I say sometimes, every episode, to see how much we relate ourselves to the character. Some sort of scientist who's a sometimes guest on the show, Andy Matthews, told me once that something like 99% of DNA is shared between chimps and humans.
Mm.
How much of yourself did you see in Primate as a percentage and for what reason?
How much of myself in that little...
In Mankey or Primate, I guess. Who did you relate to one more than the other?
Probably Primate because I'm pretty strong. But I'm going to say a good 10%.
10%, yeah.
Yeah, because he looks nothing like any animal that exists.
Including you,
exactly. Maybe the hairiness. I'm quite hairy, so
right.
Yeah, and like I said, very tough, very angry.
Tough and yeah, and you do like you've got a watch.
I've got my watch,
which is like you know.
Yeah, and he had a watch on every limb.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Know what time it is? Time to kick ass.
What do you reckon, Angus?
I think I probably related most to like Ash, as in like someone who's trying to follow a dream but seemingly quite pathetic at it. And has to sort of beg people to help and come to shows.
Yeah.
What's the show called?
Crime, True, Imagined and Heroic, 6:45 p.m. at Bard's Apothecary, April 8th to 20th.
Such a cool Cool bar, cool venue.
Yeah, that's a good venue. Brick wall at the back. That's
love that. That's stuff. Comedy. Come for the downstairs. Yeah. Is it?
Yep. Yeah. Come for the venue.
Come for the venue. Stay for the comedy. Are you taking it to Sydney or Brisbane or anywhere?
This is it.
So you got to sit in Melbourne.
It's like Taylor Swift. You got to come to Melbourne.
That's right. But you've been starting to put up more and more clips online of people from outside of Melbourne.
At Real Angus Gordon to watch the reels.
So did you say 20%? Ash, is that what you said? What number did you give?
Yeah, Menke.
Oh, I didn't give a number.
Oh, yeah.
Right, what's your number?
I guess I'm 100% identify with
100% Ash.
Menke. Yeah. No, I'll just check.
You got some, you're looking very Menke-ish.
Yeah.
I would say, I feel prime ape. In a lot, I can get a bit cranky like he does.
Oh, cranky Menke.
Oh, okay. That's what it is. It's like Cranky Kong.
Yeah.
Manky I'm Kong. Still think it's hanky.
And, yeah, I've got, a fuzzy face like he does. But, yeah, I don't fight that much. So I'm going to say probably 69%.
You don't fight that much?
No. Not wow. Children. Matt's always fighting grown men. But yeah, I'll fight children.
I'll fight heads of dojos.
Yes.
Or that's how he got this
owners
podcast.
Of small yep. businesses.
Yeah, yeah.
He dojo stormed this studio.
Yeah.
This used to be where they did the dollop.
Oh.
And then he took it over.
Yeah.
The dollop. Yeah, they were here?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was theirs.
And then you were like, I want a dollop of blood.
Yeah. And they had to give it to
you
me.
You came in and podcasted harder than them.
They had to give me one of their blood dollops. I have a
You wear that around your neck in a vial now.
Yes. It's a dollop of their blood.
Man, I thought that was just a little bit of sauce.
No.
He drinks, he licks it. Yeah. He puts it on some of his food.
That's why I thought it was sauce.
Yeah.
For a just long a drop.
That's why. It's understandable, but no, it's from them.
I use soy sauce as a blood extender.
He calls them his blood boys. Yeah.
So I'll have a quart of soy sauce.
Yeah.
I don't know what a quart is, but that's a measurement, I think, of liquid. And I drop in a drip of the dollop of the blood. Then I'll put that on my donuts, which is what I call rice cakes.
Yeah, nice. Rice balls,
sorry.
There's your third strike. You're done. This is our podcast now, Angus. We did it. We stormed this podcast.
Damn it. Hey, do you want to... People can ask questions and stuff in the show notes. Do you want me to... Do you want to be asked a question?
Yep.
All right. Let's see. This is from Gary J from the UK. And Gary J writes, just the fact... The Monkey House is back. Happy days. Hope you... Oh, no. Okay, that's not a question. I'll read first before saying them out loud. Because the first episode we did back in like a year was about Godzilla versus Kong, and a lot of these are about that. So let me just see. All right. Here we go. This one's from Kerry John Jones from Swansea. Oh, Swansea, oh, city, said I. I don't know if that's all part of it, but that's what it's written down there. Anyway, the question is, if you had to adapt any previous primates topic into a musical, what would it be and why? That might be trickier for you too, as you might not
into
know.
Into a musical?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like 150 episodes. Yeah, yeah. So what's a topic that you think?
Well, Monkey Magic would be a great musical.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's quite easy. You would have done an episode of Monkey Magic.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Born as an egg.
You
have the cloud.
Pigsy.
Pigsy.
Yeah.
Pigsy is so good. The Sandman, is he the Sandy? Is he the ocean demon?
Oh, I don't know, yeah.
Had the skulls around his neck.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was sick.
Oh, wow.
And then there was the Buddhist priest.
Oh,
that was
yeah,
the gang.
Yeah.
That was the
yeah,
four
yeah,
of
that's,
them.
Yeah, based on a Journey to the West, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, well, I imagine that's been done as a musical before.
Well, yeah, but not maybe not specific. It probably has been, to be honest, but I think that's a great suggestion.
Hmm.
What about you, Angus?
I think The Killing of Harambe
would be an
amazing opera.
Yes.
It's
operatic themes, you know.
It's even
not fall in that pit.
Even just the theatre of it looks like a theatre.
Yeah.
That would be, wow.
You'd be sitting above, down into the, wow, looking on, and then the boy falls at the beginning.
You could do that at Bard.
That's what I'm doing next year, The Killing of Harambe.
Oh, I think that could be really big, actually. But it would be tasteful.
It would be so tasteful. Only the most tasteful memes would make it into the vibrato.
Oh, sweet prince. That does, I mean, because that obviously that was one of our generation's big tragedies. 9/11 was another one. This show came out before 9/11. It was pre-9/11 yeah. world. And I think you can see that.
Mm.
You see that on the screen.
Mm. Well, they're constantly looking at the two towers in that yes. city. So yeah, that's yeah. how you know it's in pre-9/11.
There's that, but there's also an innocence to it, don't you think?
Yeah, there was. Those early episodes, I think a lot of people grew up listening to this podcast mm. and the shift in tone. Your next episode after 9/11 was...
It was darker.
Yeah.
A bit darker.
And the episode darker. Before, you were always talking about how you bring knives on planes.
Yeah, that's right. It's like the best I say, oh, what? Yeah, that used to be the question I'd ask every guest on this.
Yeah, this is the Duncan checks in episode. I love bringing a knife on a plane.
Yeah, what kind of cutlery do you preference on a plane?
As an Australian traveling to New York, you got to do the flex, like, that's not a knife, this is a knife.
Yeah.
So you got to bring your knife from home.
Yeah, like, that's how you
if
get
anyone
in.
Even says that to me, I guess I'm just going to pull it out.
You pack two things on your flight to New York, your Australian passport and a knife.
A huge knife.
Yeah, that's not a knife.
Yeah.
Oh, great question, Kerry John Jones. Well, I think that kind of brings us to the end of the episode. Where can people find you? Obviously, you're at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and they can find you at Angus Gordon Reels.
Real Angus Gordon.
Okay. But it's
on Instagram.
But it's not spelled like Reels.
No, it's with an A. The Real with an A, as in
not the real spelling of Real.
The real spelling of, yeah. But you can watch The Reels with right. two E's.
This is a marketing nightmare.
On Instagram.
What about you, Rob?
You can find me at @Rob_Braslin on Instagram. And you can find me on X as well.
You're
if
on
you
X.
Need to. I'm still on X.
Yeah, I'm still on X as well. Hey, do you have a monthly room in Hobart?
I do. It's called Cheeky Comedy at Grinner's. So you go to Grinner's Dive Bar, come in early, have a taco, have a cocktail, and then come upstairs.
When are you going to fly me down? Fly me and Angus down for a show.
Oh, Grinner's, those cheeks.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Come slap some cheeky cheeks at Cheeky Comedy at Grinner's.com. Comedy. I'll come. Yeah, I'll get the boat down.
Yeah,
yeah. Drive down. Bring a car down.
Yeah, because you have Grinner's has a boat that will bring comics down.
They will pay for it. Yeah, yeah.
It's a drive-in comedy club.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. People just beeping when someone's killing it. Yeah.
I haven't been, but I've done previous rooms. Yours are always awesome.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, it's a good town.
Packs out and it's good fun, right?
Yeah, always.
I think there are definitely Hobart listeners. Is it Hobartian?
Hobartian, yeah.
Is that right, though?
Yeah, Hobartian. Yeah, that's what we call ourselves.
Is it actually?
It is, I'm not joking. Okay. Yeah. I'm putting the comedy hat back on right now. Yeah. No, Hobartian's apt. Yeah. Taswegian for Tasmanian.
Yes, we say Taswegian.
Taswegian, or some people say Tasmanian, but I think we've adopted that, yeah.
Taswegian is fun.
Yeah, Taswegian sounds
like awesome. Norwegian.
Yeah, Taswegian.
Where's the wege from? From way, Tasway. Yeah. I don't know, whatever. It doesn't matter. Why am I questioning you?
Yeah, a guy from the town.
I'm a mainlander.
Yeah.
Always have been.
You can walk around Tasmania in a day.
Yeah.
Do you think you guys got that face cancer to kill off your second head? Like that's how you all look normal now? Like you developed the face cancer as a way of getting
the same guys head. Who came up with the idea for the cane toads in Queensland.
It just got away from you.
They were like, we'll just forget the cane toad thing. That was a flop. This face cancer for Tassie peeps is going to work.
They need it because they've got that invasive second head.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. International listeners might not know that Tasmanians have two heads.
We a lot of us have had the surgery.
Yeah.
Or the face cancer.
And a lot of people keep their head too, and it's embarrassing.
What is where does the two head thing come from?
I have no idea.
Isn't there a Pokemon that wears the skull of a similar Pokemon over his head?
Yeah, Cubone.
Why don't you Tasmanians do that with your second head? Like wear your other skull?
I don't know, Angus. Why don't we? I think there's a lot of fucking things we don't do down home, and I don't know what we do.
Sick. It would look sick if you guys were wearing your second skull.
Yeah, it would look pretty badass, I guess. We've got a lot of badass things going down home that, you know, we don't need to add skulls to the issue. No. Yeah, we're like...
Mona would lap that up.
They would. They love skulls. Oh, yeah. They love death and sex. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People, if you do have anything to tell us, any questions, any suggestions, like the two great people, Jordan and Sean, did for this episode, there's links in the show notes. Suggest away. But that brings us to the end of the episode. Follow Rob and Angus. I always get a guest to riff the supposed catchphrase of the show. Thanks so much for joining us, Angus and Rob. And Rob, as we always say here at Primates Podcast.
Hey, quit monkeying around. Get off the shed, you little idiot.
We did it.
deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.